Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Oh, there you are. Sorry, Sherry. The unmute did not work well.
Oh.
All right. We had a very busy weekend. So here are our assignments from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
All right.
I do not understand Buddhism, Huineng. Huineng is one of the most beloved and respected figures in Zen. A peasant boy, unable to read or write, he awakened when he overheard a man reciting the Diamond Sutra. Though he lacked schooling, his clarity and compassion were unparalleled. If understanding Buddhism were either possible or desirable, Huineng would certainly have understood. But understanding is neither desirable nor possible because understanding would require a separate self to do the understanding. Today, each time you notice a belief in the importance of understanding and knowing, take a long deep breath and as you exhale, attend to the gap between conditioned mind's activities. That gap is the source of all wisdom and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
July 29th. If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment. The Buddha taught that we suffer only as long as we choose to, and when we no longer want to suffer, we can stop. Ego cons people into doing what it says because it promises control over life circumstances. What we get to see over and over is that ego cannot deliver on that promise. No matter how tense a person gets or how small they make their life, life still happens and there's no controlling what happens. What the Buddha told us and what this quote reminds us is that we actually do have the only control possible. We can choose to say yes to what is. Today, watch how saying yes to what arises allows you to be in well-being regardless of circumstances, according to Sun. July 30th. Dream as if you live forever. Live as if you'll die today. We're conditioned to be afraid of feelings because feelings will lead to behaviors. I can't allow myself to find that person attractive because I'm afraid it will lead to an affair. Can feelings lead to behaviors? Of course. Will they necessarily? No. If we're paying attention, present, we can feel all of our feelings and act only on the ones we choose to act on. The same is true with dreams. The voices of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, will tell people not to dream because the dreams won't become reality and will end in disappointment. It's good to keep in mind that we will only be disappointed if we choose to be. If we allow ourselves to be open to all the possibilities life offers, that might just be all our dreams coming true. If living as if you'll die today points to wholehearted participation along the lines of the fellow hanging from a vine over a cliff, tiger circling below, enjoying the strawberry, then yes. Today, notice if figuring out has replaced open to possibility for you. Record and listen.
Well, that was a big weekend, wasn't it? Oh, let's find out what happened, huh?
Yeah. First caller, you're now live on the air.
Ooh, ouch.
Hi. Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello? Is that the speaking? Can you hear me?
Yes. You always come
on. You don't sound convinced, though.
Well, you come on with a great flurry of technology, and then it settles right down as soon as you hear. Yeah,
right. because
you're
in my bag, and then when you come out of my bag, there is a sound.
I see.
I have sangha in my bag, you know.
All right. Well, what have you been seeing?
Okay, I have been doing some experiment with the Marcus Aurelius quote, but I might be off track or led by conditioning. So I would really like to hear your opinion. So I had a lot of strange things arising, not in life externally, but in me. Like things that are not supposed to be what a good Zen practitioner would do, like desire to party like crazy, or desire, I don't know, mainly to party, but also, all like teenage behaviors, you know? I've been having all these teenage behaviors, and I have been trying not to go for conditioning and saying, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You're 38, and blah, 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 blah. But just to be present to them, but which in some case meant doing the behavior, you know, like partying all night or drinking, but being present though. And I didn't accept any beatings. And when I decided to go for it and just accept them, it seemed like recording and listening worked perfectly, and I understood the quotes, and I wanted to call the show. While for the days when I was kind of refusing these feelings, like this, and I was like, no, this is not what a good Zen practitioner would do, I felt totally disconnected from practice. That's my story.
Yes. And it's really, those are really important insights, Isota. That's how conditioning does it to people. So I have to do these things because I should. I can't do these other things because I shouldn't. If I don't do them, I'm a good person. If I do them, I'm a bad person. And ego is just ecstatic with that setup. But that's not, in practice, that's not our motivation. Okay? In practice, our motivation is, yes, I see that karma that wants to act out in that way, and I choose not to act out in that way because it doesn't take care of the human being. And that's where we get drag in the little kid, right? So you've got a 5-year-old Isota there with you, and ego says, you know, I just feel like going out and drinking and dancing all night long. You know, I want it's the weekend, I want to get wasted. And are you going to take little 5-year-old Isota by the hand and say, okay, off to the bars we go? You know, you're not going to do that. Not because it's a bad thing to do, but just because it wouldn't take care of her.
Mm-hmm. But I did take 15 years old Isota to the bar, though.
That's right.
But I was there with her.
That's right. And that's what you're seeing, right? And I project that there is going to come a time when that is simply not what you want to do. In the same way that as at one time you were 15, 16, 17 years old. And so that behavior was what you wanted to do. But you went on in your life and you realized that wasn't what you wanted to do. You wanted to focus on other things, do other things. Is this true?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it
This is why it's so surprising that it came back.
That's right. Well, it's the nature of karma. Right? It's the nature of karma to slide back around again and see if you will go for it. So this is going out and partying. Right, but what if it were, teenagers are notoriously not enthusiastic about getting up early or working. right? And so if the karma resurfaced, you're 15, and you don't want to get up early and go to work, well, you're going to anyway, right? Because it does, mm-hmm. because you're not 15 any longer, because you've got a job, you have responsibilities, you're a grown up. And so it's not that there's anything wrong with feeling that way. We just have to decide what we want to act on. Now, if you decide, I just feel like going out and partying all weekend, and that's what you really want to do, and you do that, and there are no hard feelings and no beatings, and then why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the way I'm seeing it is that it's like whatever arises in life, there is no point like going against it. It's just being present for it. So even if be it that it arises externally or internally, I can have the same attitude. Does it make sense? Is it correct?
Well,
or not?
The thing about it is, we do have karma that is not good for us. So if you had a karma to steal, and that karma would come up every time you see money come through the business, you think, oh, I'd just like to take some of that and put it in my pocket. that would arise, right? But you would realize, no, that is not a good thing for me to do. I may, when identified with that karma, I may want to do that, but I need to make a different choice because the consequences of doing that are not, it's not without consequence. Okay? It's taking money that doesn't belong to you. You could get caught. There would be big ramifications. So there are a lot of things that we have a karma to do, but we really choose not to do. Now, if it feels like there's something that you've just been taught is not a good thing to do, and you see no reason, that's not your experience, then you do that. And what you said is the key element. You stay present. So it's not, I want to go out and party this weekend because I want to go unconscious. That's a very dangerous motivation. That's a very dangerous thing to indulge. But to do the behavior with conscious awareness is the way to see through the karma. So you might, the kind of things you might see, you might not, but this kind of things you might see, that you only allow yourself to relax and have fun when you're drinking. Well, that would be very good to see. Not because you want to set up a life pattern of, I only relax and have fun when I'm drinking, and especially that when I'm drinking too much. You might then start questioning, well, why don't I relax and have fun all the time?
How interesting. Ah, I just got a super insight, because I think that the thing I experienced this weekend when I was like dancing like crescent and like crazy and being drunk, I was thinking about practice and sangha all the time, and I was thinking, oh my God, I feel so connected to the universe and all this, because I like the music and etc. But I can cultivate these feelings in other ways, you know. But it's interesting what you said.
That's exactly right. And so I'm then very suspicious, and I think you are. And this is what leads a lot of people to drink and to do drugs, because what that does is release them from the death grip that ego, conditioning, karma, self-hate has on them, so they can finally be present and their hearts open and they feel connected to life. And they think it's because of the alcohol or the drugs, but it's not. It's because they had a little respite from that grip that ego has on them. So then when we realize that, we think, okay, I want to get rid of that grip because I don't want to be dependent upon, I don't want to be controlled by, I have to get drunk and dance in order for my heart to feel open. I want to get rid of the grip that ego has on me so that I can be in life with my heart open all the time. And the fiendish part, this is subtle, but the fiendish part of what you're looking at is that most religion makes what you're doing the point. So you go out and you get drunk and that makes you a bad person. And that just takes us off in a direction that is not helpful for anyone or anything. It doesn't make you a bad person to do that. It makes you a person who is in the grip of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and that's controlling your life. Which is a very different point. Yeah? Okay, very good.
And this is why the beatings are the worst thing, because if I indulged beatings, or if I kept it a secret and didn't say it without any shame, both things would just increase the feeling of separation, right?
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And that's why I think ego has created such very strong right and wrong rules for us. Because it keeps us going down a path of being controlled by ego and away from freedom. So, absolutely.
So I'm so glad to have talked to you. Thank you so much. I will keep re-listening to this.
Yes, and keep us posted.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Big hugs.
It's always so helpful to clarify the confusion, the bamboozle we're in, right, Sherry? Because it is confusing that the conditioning, the experience, the feeling, the desire to be free of ego and then being bamboozled into doing something that doesn't take care of us in order to have a feeling, and yet that's not good for us. And parsing all that is just so helpful.
Yeah. And the subtle part of that is, so I'm out there drunk dancing and I feel great. I love life. I love everybody. I love God. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy. And the information is, and you're a really bad person for doing this.
Yeah.
So to put those two together, what a coup for ego.
Yeah.
The one thing that makes me able to be fully alive and connected is called bad and wrong, and I'm a bad and wrong. So, I mean, there's kind of nowhere for a person to go unless we have practice and a way to look at it together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bev from Kentucky.
Well, hello.
I'm just happy
speaking
to be here.
Speaking of dancing, right?
Yes, I am learning to follow in my husband and life. So it's been a joy. Well, one of the things that has helped me so much in my journey through the last few months is I love how you encourage us to be lighthearted, to realize, well, you know, Project Joy, life should be joyful. And so the little things that I hear, I'm really trying to bring that. I was a kindergarten teacher before I retired, so it's easy for me to be silly and to do, I don't feel self-conscious about dancing or singing or things like silly songs. And I love all these things, like even the word bamboozle. I mean, when I'm in a place
word,
and I think I'm being, how can you feel bad when you say I'm being bamboozled? It's just a fun word. I love that word.
Yes. Yeah.
It's great. And
oh gosh. Did we lose you, Bev? Ashwini, did we lose Bev?
Well. Yep, she disappeared from the queue.
Darn. Okay.
Yes, I will watch for her. But in the meantime, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. So I was practicing a lot with the Marcus Aurelius one, and because I was feeling quite a bit of distress. I was getting triggered quite a bit with my partner, and at first I tried talking it out, the first triggering, and that didn't go so well. But again, that's okay, just experimenting. It didn't feel kind at the time, but life, I don't know, I just kept... Later on, I saw ego was scanning to get upset. But about the third or fourth time, it was just, this is not okay. This is unacceptable. It went off into a flurry. But one time on retreat, I was freaking out in a similar way. And so I just kind of yelled help to the universe. And what came back was breathe. And so... we're driving along. I'm pretty triggered. There's this big, you got to get away, escape, flee, urge. And I just keep coming back to the breath. I lose it. I come back to the breath. It's very much like meditation. And
a familiar story for all of us. Yeah.
And I don't know, just after doing that for a while, at some point, the perspective changed, and all of a sudden I remembered, this is a gift. This is freedom. This triggering is not something to get away from or, you know, try to control my partner so it never happens again. This is, I was just kind of flabbergasted how absolutely kind it was. This was showing me the thing I needed. I'm getting choked up right now. It just completely changed the the experience.
And were you able to share that?
Were you able to talk about that? I did share that.
That's a wonderful thing in and of itself, isn't it? So because, you know, your partner's having an experience of this whole thing too.
Yes.
And when we can get to that place of being able to say, oh my gosh, I've just realized what's going on here and what a tremendous opportunity this is for me to see this process that goes on with me that I suffer over. And I'm so grateful that you're in my life and willing to be in this workshop with me so that I can see this stuff.
I guess it's kind of the same thing, but I was just really overcome with appreciation for her, and I communicated that as well. And yeah, it's amazing how you end up closer after all that.
Yes, which is exactly the opposite of what ego had in mind, right? Put such a wedge in there that you two never get back together again.
Yeah. And actually, now that you say that, this has happened a couple of times, and I need to record that. At one point, I had reached a point where kind of the reflex upon getting triggered was, oh, yeah, okay, there's triggering here, but we're going to work through it. And then after it, I'll feel much closer to her. So, yay, triggering means love eventually, you know, more love. And again, that changes the approach to the triggering. Oh, speaking of which, I was several times used in the Be the Person You Want to Be. In that book, you mention instead of sitting across the table, you know, fighting over something, go sit beside the person and you can put the thing out in front of you and look at it together. And in the same vein, that's how I then share later on. I'm like, hey, you know, here's what's going on. It's not confrontational. It's sharing, and it's lovely.
Yes. And when two people realize that we're going through these difficulties together so that we both grow and we get closer in the process, then there can be that lightness to it because – you know, that one of the examples that I like, because it makes sense to me, of course, is when a relationship is new, something happens. You know, you say something, she gets upset. She says something, you get upset. I mean, you have to leave wherever you are right then and talk about it because this is an emergency. Right? And then after you've been together for a while, you've been through a bunch of those, and there's this confidence that, yeah, this is upsetting. I wish it didn't happen, but, you know, we're going to get through it, We're gonna talk about it on the way home. We're gonna talk about it when we get home. We're gonna get through it. It's okay. And there's a relaxation that and a confidence in the relationship that just changes everything. And that's how we are with ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I get all freaked out about something conditioning is doing, but I've seen it 1,000 times, right? I know this is not the end of the world. I'm going to get through this. There's going to be clarity. I'm going to feel better and be happier out the other side of this. Let's relax.
Yeah, and just wait for that happiness and clarity.
Precisely. Which as soon as we remember that whole thing, oh, this is just conditioning running a number. Hey, that's just ego freaking out. Okay. I mean, we've already moved to that place of clarity,
yeah.
Right? We're already back here at center, not taking it seriously, feeling good, being grateful. We can laugh about it.
Yeah, and even recognizing that when ego is screaming, no, this is real, this is serious. I have heard that before,
uh-huh.
too.
That's right. That's right. And, gosh, it never has been. And, you know, if it ever is, well, I think I'll be ready.
Mm.
Right? Because that's what we're training for.
Yeah. Just
Each time we get hit with something we've never seen before and we go through it, we're that much prepared for the next thing that we get hit with that we've never seen before. That's the whole deal.
It's the weightlifting jogging example you use often. Just a little
yes.
bit stronger every day.
Every single day. Yeah.
So,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ben. That was such an illuminating conversation, Sherry. Shall I try to squeeze one more person in? Bev's not back
sure.
on the queue, unfortunately.
Sure. Well, maybe we'll get to talk to Bev tomorrow.
Yes. All right. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Eleanor in Athens, Georgia.
Hello, Eleanor.
Oh, boy. Let's see if I can. The scrambler comes in action. But see the scrambler.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
It is there. So I've seen a lot of these assignments tying together lately, and I've amazing thing I was practicing with that this week, seeing the gap between the conditioning came in and reinforced it. But it started with looking for meaning, and I was setting timers, and whatever I was doing, I'll come to awareness, and I could very clearly, in this place where I was, conditioning would come in with a critique that was negative. You know, you should be doing something else. Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really clear. Mm-hmm. And then I would drop it and realize that what I was doing was that presence was what I wanted and that I could do that. It was brief, but I could do that. And
mm-hmm.
So it finally just shows up that this is just, you know, the one of the big ways that ego, that conditioning tries to get me, that gets me into conversation and takes me away from whatever I could be present to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
it's always
meaning
or importance or being the right person, and it's really huge. I'm just seeing it a lot of places now that I can back off and see it.
Uh-huh. You know, the thing that, so tell me about the alarms. Did you just set them for all day long?
Well, I especially use them at work, and I just set my watch for every hour to go off.
Uh-huh.
And it's
and
real
then you just check in.
I check in, and I'm starting to be able to have a deep breath, or if I have time, I read the assignment. But sometimes that's an opportunity for I see a lot of times that conditioning comes in with it. Feel right there of what I was doing, and instead of that's where the awareness goes immediately, and it's not present anymore. Is that
uh-huh.
sense? I'm trying to
well,
look at this. What happens? Yeah, when I set the alarm.
Well, yes, but the thing I want to underline for everybody, for all of us, is doing what brings us back to the present. all day long. So, you know, the practice everywhere tweets, that's the whole idea of that. You know, people get a little notification, and then there's this little assignment to come back to the present. And we get to see where was I when that happened? Where was I when that happened? And the thing that I think is so powerful about that is you are, just you now, all the rest of us, yes, but just you now, you are in a workshop with life. And you and life are seeing through ego and karma. And there, if when we look at it that way, there can be that lightness that Bev was talking about, that fun. Okay, what am I going to see? Okay, the alarm's going to go off. What am I going to see? Okay, there's the notification. What am I going to see? Okay, and it's instead of a feeling of, the alarm's going to go off, and yeah, I'll see something, but you know, it's going to get racked up as another failure because I can't say. Instead, it's like a hide and seek, or you know, any of those kind of kick the can. If you ever played that as a kid, you know, I'm sneaking up. We're sneaking up on conditioning. We got a plan here, and so I'm setting up all these things, reminders for myself to come back, to get out of conditioned mind and come back to the present, and it's a game, and it's fun, because it's that process that changes everything for us, not what we see when we're here.
That, yeah, yes, I see what you're saying, that...
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is the present moments I've had, and they've been popping in more often, have not been when I was setting a timer or
no.
To do it.
No, but you're training yourself to come to present.
Right.
That's what all of that, that's what all of that does, right? So it's just like for those of us who practice counting when we sit. Okay, then all of a sudden you realize you're walking down the street going, one, two, right? Because I'm here, I'm with the breath, and I'm counting my steps. You know, I'm doing walking meditation. Why? Because that's what I've been training myself to do. So everything that brings us to the present is training us to come to the present. And we will just, not we in the sense of I'm making it happen, intelligence, consciousness, awareness is learning that here is the place to be.
Yeah, and it's really nice because when I've noticed a few times that it just drops in like, oh, here, like I was driving and it was beautiful and it's the end of the day and it was like, oh, wow, it's the end of the day. And there was no negativity, it just came in. Life brought it in instead of the timer coming in, but I see that the practice is how we train.
That's right. That's right. Because
if
we don't support life, you know, it will not force its way through the ego barriers.
Uh-huh. Yes,
it just won't.
For sure.
So we train ourselves to be open like that. Ooh, I see we are
over.
Yes, we must talk again. All right.
Yes, thanks,
Eleanor. Bye-bye. Ashwini, did we lose you?
It unmuted me. Oh, muted me. Anyway, thank you, Eleanor, and here's our assignment for the day.
All right.
Cats seem to go on the principle that it never does any harm to ask for what you want. How does it happen that we go from the relentless, can I have a cookie, can I have a cookie, can I have a cookie, of the small child to the, it's not okay to say what I want, so many adults suffer with? Even if there's no one to ask, no boss or other authority figure, there's often an embarrassment or shame, a feeling of unworthiness that keeps a person from expressing what they wish or long for. It's true that the Buddha taught the desire is the root cause of suffering, and yet Jesus said, ask and you will receive. How can both be true? Perhaps there's a clue for us in that question we're perpetually exploring in awareness practice. Who's asking? Ego desires come from an illusion of separation, seeking what life is not offering. The heart's desire springs from a longing to be at one with life. Today, let yourself ask for what you want and pay close attention to see if the desire is coming from the ego or the heart. Record and listen.
All right. Well, that's, yes, that's big.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, everybody. Take care. Go happy.
Bye-bye.